This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance.
Welcome, everybody, to Faherty Up Close from a Distance. This is part two with my buddy Mike Tirico. Mike, thanks for joining me again.
It's an honor to receive the second commission for doing this show. It's really an honor. Thank you.
I'm sure it's something you'll remember for the rest of the day. Yeah. We were talking about the return of golf, you know, with the Masters in particular being rescheduled in November, and the possibility of there being a lack of, you know, no fans, no noise. How do you think that'll apply to other sports? You know, take the big house in Michigan. You've got 110,000 people in the middle of winter sitting. It's difficult not to get snot on the next person sitting beside you. That can't possibly happen for quite a long time, I would have thought.
I think we needed you in the White House briefing room to ask questions like that of the doctors involved. That would have been vintage Faherty, next level real world. You know, that's the interesting part, David. Will we see fans, American football, European football, soccer, Premier League? Are we going to see fans shoulder to shoulder back next to each other again? Well, what's the world we see that? It's a world where there's testing. It's a world that we almost have this digital passport that says we have had the virus or have an immunity to it or have received some sort of a shot that we are safe to be in a large group. It's really an unknown path that's coming. And sports really impacts that because gatherings in sports are different from almost anything else. Of course, you have places where there are a lot of people together. Yeah. But really, sports is the only one. We throw 40, 50,000 people. We all sit next to each other, and we have no idea who these people are. We don't know where they're coming from. So I'm really curious to see when that resumes. Is that months or is it a year? I mean, is it next spring, the 2021 Masters? Is that the time we get patrons back gathering on all those familiar spots, the hill between 11 and 12 and all of that? Look, there are 1,000 questions that are really important. That's really not one. But I do think it's going to be an adjustment period whenever sports does come back, assuming it comes back without fans.
Well, golf is not exactly a contact sport. And I think the only one, well, baseball is almost a contact sport. But every other one, you know, the players are getting, you know, with it's basketball or football. I mean, there's blood involved at times, sweat right. and change of fluids and things like that. It's such a difficult decision to make. Not just, you know, to play it without fans, but, you know, to play it at all when you when you think of that.
Yeah, David, you bring up good points. Just think about practicing. If teams are going to play, they're going to have to practice first, right? So to practice, you've got to mix and interact with your teammates, which means you're all going to be working up a sweat and somebody's going to be leaning on you. And you look at the basketball player, Rudy Gobert, who is the one from Utah who tested positive that Wednesday night when things really started to spiral and we had all the shutdowns of the leagues and other things. The player who he had played in the prior game was guarding him, and that player ended up testing positive for COVID-19. So if you're going to start playing, you got to practice first, and you've got to know that your whole team is free of the coronavirus and doesn't contract it along the way. Because once one person does, everybody's got to go into self-quarantine for 14 days, and then that whole team can't compete with the rest of the teams. And you've got all the interactions there. So that's why when we look at social distancing guidelines and other things, hopefully adjusting as we get a handle on this, the whole sports thing has another couple of layers before we even start talking about those contact sports getting back in action.
With everything coming back potentially at the same time, you know, you've got football, basketball, hockey, golf. You've had not just a toe in pretty much all of those sports. You've been up to your neck in all of them. Which one do you think is going to get the most coverage? It's got to be the NFL, right?
It is. The NFL, I think, might even show in more different ways why it's so popular, because everybody seems to have the NFL as one of their first couple of sports that they love, right? So Masters weekend, of course, you're going to watch the last few holes of the Masters, but you're probably going to pop over if your NFL team is playing. I think the NFL, in part because it is such a small sliver, one of 16 games, that's it, if they have a full season this year, compared to everything else that comes in volume. If they're all happening, and we could have a fall with the Triple Crown of horse racing, all the big auto racing things going on, the golf world with a calendar that is as stacked and loaded as it's ever been, if we get back on that schedule, college football, NBA, NHL, either ending or starting, and like you said, the NFL. I think we'd see the power of the NFL show up in that changed world. I wonder if any of the sports are going to move to play in the middle of the week at all.
Yeah.
You know, David, because the weekends are going to be so overloaded with live sporting events. And I think that might be a window where people could play not up against a lot of other sports.
I'm always interested in how people like yourself get involved with broadcasting in the first place. How old were you when you first thought, you know, this might be a career path? And did you have a plan B?
Yeah, truth be told, if you ask my mom, I was a little kid running around broadcasting into a spoon when I was a little kid, that this is what I wanted to do. As long as I've been alive, I remember that I wanted to be a sportscaster. Yeah. I did have the dream of being I had the dream of being an athlete, a player. And then when, you know, kind of high school baseball came up and they thought of me more as a defensive replacement and a pinch runner, the reality set in. I wasn't going to make any varsity team anytime soon. The other option to stay around sports was medicine, and I'm not smart enough for that. So I always wanted to be in the media, whether it was being a broadcaster or a writer, but always loved the challenge of being a broadcaster. Whenever I was at a sporting event, I wanted to meet the sportscasters, not the athletes. I went to Syracuse for college because Marv Albert and Bob Costas and other big-time announcers had gone to Syracuse, and it has been everything I've wanted to do. I've now finished my 33rd year of being on TV. I've been on TV since I was 20 years old, and I still love the job every single day. I miss doing it, miss being at events. But it's taken me all around the world. It's allowed me to make awesome friends like you. One of the things I'm really missing this year, one of the cancellations that really like stopped me and got to me, was the fact that the Open was canceled at Royal St. George's this year. I've had the pleasure of doing that since I was at ABC in 97, at 23 in a row. And I was so looking forward to this year, 24, and then next year at St. Andrews, my 25th, the 150th, and all of that just hurts me. I think it hurts us as fans. It hurts us as people who love sports. And we're just hopeful that we can get back to those things again. Because as you can tell, for me, I'm a kid with all this. I still love it a lot.
Who were your inspirations? You talked about Marv Albert and of course, Bob Costas. You had to step into those shoes, which is difficult because they're only like a 6.5.
Yeah, that's why it's good. I'm a short guy. You know, the joke when the Olympic transition happened, and Bob couldn't have been better when we were doing that. The joke was, well, look, the lighting was set for a 5'7 short guy who grew up in Queens, New York, and went to Syracuse University. And Bob did that, and I did that. So it just kind of gave PR a lesson that they had to cross out from the biography of the Olympic host. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy that we have those similarities. You know, David, for me, the hardest part was trying to do the job in my voice and not the voice or the style of the people who I admired in doing it.
Right.
And I think that takes a while. You look up to somebody and you want to do things exactly the way they did because that's how you really began to feel close to this. And I've tried over the years now to just find my voice, my way, my personality, but keep the root of what made them good. And I tell students all the time, if they're interested in broadcasting, we don't have any original ideas. You do a lot of the communication techniques that all of us do, but they come across in your personality. And that's what makes Faraday Faraday. And just try to be yourself. And if you can do that, then maybe you can, you know, keep wearing makeup another week or two.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, but for me, you know, I looked up to Peter Allis, the great, Peter the Great. But it, you're right, it's impossible to do it in somebody else's voice. You know, I'm just so glad that you found yours. It's such a joy to work with you. It really is. And we have rapid fire coming up.
Okay.
I'm
bracing.
Yeah, here we go. Would you rather be in the booth or, you know, like in the 18th hole or in a studio?
Booth.
What's your favorite sports tradition?
The engraving of the claret jug.
Oh, yeah. Nice. The most thrilling win you've seen in any sport?
probably the New Orleans Saints winning the game that reopened the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina in 2006.
Right. Most heartbreaking loss?
My alma mater, Syracuse, 1987, lost the national championship to Indiana on a jump shot. I was a student in the media, crushed.
Mm. Favorite venue? I think I know this one.
My two favorite venues, the Carrier Dome, where my alma mater, Syracuse, plays. Yeah. I'd say venue to go and cover an event and broadcast is St. Andrews.
No, the great thing about St. Andrews and about so many of those Scottish and Irish or the links in Great Britain and Ireland is that the golf course actually wraps itself around the town centre. It's the heart.
I love that.
Yeah.
David, I love telling people when, you know, we're playing golf and you see on your scorecard in and out for the 9 and the 18 that, you know, that happens from St. Andrews when you went out of town and then you come back into town.
Yes.
That's why it's out and in on those, right, on each nine. And people are like, no, you're making that up. I'm like, no, go look at the town and go look at the golf course. It's the real deal. And I just love that history of the game there. It just really gets me every time. It gets me really sappy, which I don't normally do, but it does.
Your favorite foursome to play?
Oh my gosh. I would say Jack, my uncle Frank, who introduced me to the game because he was a Jack fan, and Curtis Strange.
All right.
My success in golf and whatever that is relevant, my acceptance in the world of golf would not have happened if Curtis Strange didn't take me under his arm and say, come here, let me come meet these guys. Hey, this is Mike. He's going to be out here. As you know, there is no bigger grizzly bear on the outside who is an absolute teddy bear on the inside. I love that guy.
Absolutely. So do I. Yeah. And finally, toilet paper rolls, over or under?
I would say under would be the proper way to unroll it because you're pulling, right? You're not pulling down, you're pulling up. So I would say under. Is that the right answer?
No, that weirds me out.
Do you recycle the cardboard tube that it comes around?
No, I just use it the same way as I use the toilet paper. Yeah. Mikey, thanks so much for
that was the wrong question to ask the wrong person. You're right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Best. I love you.
With me.
And, safe, pal.
Being here on Faraday Up Close from a Distance. I will see you sooner than later, I hope, my friend.
Thanks for joining me, Faherty fans. You can find more of the Faherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Faherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19, or Google Play. Search Faherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.